Sri Bhagavat Arkamarichimala. So we're near, not far from here, is a temple, the sun god called Konark. Arka means sun. The word Arka means light. So Bhagavat Arka, Arka means rays or light. Marichi Mala, Mala means garland. Marichi, I'm not sure what Marichi means. And Bhagavat Arka, so it means a garland of rays from the sun-like Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very interesting book. We've written some introduction to the course. Basically, the book is all verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. And some people may think that's in 12 cantos. That's a lot to read. And they become afraid at the size of the magnum opus. Magnum opus means the large book. Very large book. They become afraid to deal with it. It's too much voluminous. 18,000 shlokas is very difficult to understand, to deal with. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, knowing the nature of this Kali Yuga, how people are very slow and foolish and not very patient, they would not be able to read or digest 18,000 verses. He extracted about, I don't know how many verses are here exactly. I didn't really look. But he put it together into 20 rays. What he calls rays. Rays, because it's Bhagavat Arka. So Arka means rays. Sun, ray means ray of sun. So these are 20 rays from the Bhagavatam. Whereas the Bhagavatam itself is 18,000 verses and there's about 364 chapters. There's 364 chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam. 90 chapters in the 10th canto alone. So you can see, chapter-wise, almost one-third of the Bhagavatam is the 10th canto. So it's very voluminous. So he has reduced that to 20 rays, which is 20 chapters. And I don't know, let's see, I can get some idea how many verses in a ray. There's about 50 verses in each ray. So there's 20 rays and 50 verses. He's collected about 1,000 verses. Out of 18,000, he's collected 1,000. He's condensed it, like you boil milk, and it cooks down, all the water cooks out of the milk, and you get kheer, and it goes more, it becomes burfi, solid. Solid milk is burfi. So he's cooked down the 18,000 verses. They're all essential, they're all important. But to make it easier, he put 18 into 1,000, or maybe 1,008, I don't know exactly. Maybe it's 1,008. Would be nice, auspicious number. So this is a very important book. It's printed in Vrindavan. Bhumipati, our godbrother, translated it. Editing and layout by Pundarik Vidyanidhi Das. They teamed up on a lot of books. They did this also. But this is published by Rasvihari. So I wrote some introduction. Throughout the history of India, people have worshipped the Vedas as infallible words, which means chuta vacham. Actually, the Vedas are like a desire tree from which all kinds of people, be they karmis, jnanis, yogis, or devotees, can derive their desired results or fruits. So a desire tree means a tree. They have these, it's called Kalpa Vriksha tree. They usually have them in Vrindavan. You go to this tree and you ask for something and it gives that tree will supply what you want. So if you're a karmi, you go to the Vedas and you get some ideas and prescriptions on how to fulfill your fruit of desires. If you're a jnani, you want to know how to realize praman or gain knowledge of higher dimensions or the psychological or metaphysical dimension of life, then you can peruse the Vedas and derive lots of knowledge to satisfy your curiosity, your interest in jnana. If you're a yogi and you want to develop mystic powers and become proud of that or just have the inner confidence of having these powers, then you can learn the science of developing anima siddhi, mahima siddhi, prapti siddhi, and lagu siddhi. Different kinds of mystic powers, how to attain those are contained in the Vedas. And if you're a devotee and you want to learn how to love God, how to go to the spiritual world and serve God, or realize your spiritual form, these teachings are also in the Vedas. So in that way, everyone from all walks of life, they can get whatever they want from the Vedas. The 108 Upanishads are the head of the Vedas. Head means head. Srila Vedavyas then wrote the Vedanta Sutra to summarize, condense, and codify the teachings of the Upanishads by classifying them in three ways. So the 108 Upanishads are, of course, very vast literature. They're considered to be the head of the Vedas. Isha Upanishad we're familiar with. There's Katha Upanishad, Swecha Svatara Upanishad, Kena Upanishad. There's 108 Upanishads. And these 108 Upanishads, there's 12 that are considered very useful for Vaishnavas, which I mentioned 4 or 5 of them. And Kena Upanishad, the Katha Upanishad, the Shvetra Svatara Upanishad, Isha Upanishad. And then there's the most appropriate for the Vaishnavas, especially Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is called Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Gopal Tapani Upanishad describes the meaning of the Gopal Mantra. Gopal Mantra is the 18-syllable mantra. Specifically, there are 10-syllable mantras. Lord Chaitanya chanted the 10-syllable Gopal Mantra. But Lord Brahmaji, at the beginning of creation, he received 18-syllable Gopal Mantra, and we chant the same in our ISKCON. Plim Krishnaya Govindaya. This is 18 syllables. So the description of that mantra, how it came about and what it means, and who is the Ishtadev, what is the Chandas, what is the Rishi, and all the meanings of that mantra are given in Gopal Tapani Upanishad. So members of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, they very much favor and study this Gopal Tapani Upanishad. So these Upanishads, which are the head, then Vedavyas wanted to make a summary. He wanted to codify them, because that's a lot of books. So many different books, 108 books. So he decided to condense all those into one book. It's called Vedanta Sutra. It's called Brahma Sutra or Vedanta Sutra. And in that Vedanta Sutra, there are three divisions. One is called Sambandha, which means the living entity's relationship with the Supreme Lord. One is Abhideya, which means activities in that relationship. And Prayojan means the ultimate necessity or the final goal of human life. Together, these three fields of knowledge or three principles are known as Vedanta philosophy. Unfortunately, many people could not understand the real meaning of the sutras of Vedanta Sutra or of Vedanta. So, to provide a clear understanding of Vedanta philosophy, Srila Vyasadeva composed the Srimad Bhagavatam as a natural commentary on his Vedanta Sutra. The Garuda Purana says that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Granta Raj. There's a verse. Well, of course, we've all heard this. Granta Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam, ki. There's actually a verse where the Garuda Puran, because Srimad Bhagavatam is a Puran. It's one of the 18 Puranas. There are 18 Puranas, 6 in the mode of goodness and 6 in the mode of ignorance and 6 in the mode of passion. So the Garuda Puran is glorifying the Bhagavad Puran by saying this is the Granta Raj. Grant, G-R-A-N-T-H-A, Grant means sacred book or text. And Raj means the king. So Garuda Puran is glorifying Bhagavad Puran or Srimad Bhagavatam as the king of all Puranas. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains the true meaning of Vedanta Sutra and the Mahabharata. The Mahabharata. Whatever is the Mahabharata. How big is the Mahabharata? Does anyone know how many verses are there? 100,000 verses. There's 100,000 verses in the Mahabharata. Is that, where is the Bhagavad Gita? Is that from the Mahabharata? Where is it from?
It's from
Mahabharata. It's from the Bhishma Parva. Bhishma Parva means section where Bhishma is speaking his teachings and Krishna is also speaking his teachings. How many verses in the Bhagavad Gita? I think there's 700. So the 700 verses. So this Vedanta Sutra, which is, I can't remember just now how many sutras that is, but what we're saying here, we're talking about Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains the true meaning of Vedanta Sutra and the Mahabharata. So Vedanta Sutra, which is whatever amount of verses, I don't know right now. Mahabharata is 1 lakh of verses. So all that 1 lakh of verses, plus all the verses in Vedanta Sutra, are explained and commented upon very clearly and distinctly in 18,000 verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are the descriptions of this Bhagavatam. Actually, this is a... this is a verse. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from the Gayatri Mantra. Brahm Satyam Nadimahi. That's the first verse. Nadimahi is one of the verbs in the Gayatri. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of the purport of the Vedic literature. The supreme truth that Bhagavan Sri Krishna manifested within the heart of Lord Brahma, Tene Rida Yaradi Kaviye, that supreme truth which was manifested there, and the Adi Kavi, the original intelligent person, that form of the Srimad Bhagavatam was known as Chatu Shloki Bhagavatam, 4 verses. Chatu Shloki means 4 verses. Those 4 seed verses are mentioned in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. After Vyasa received this from his spiritual master, Srila Narada Muni, Srila Narada Muni spoke also these 4 shlokas to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva expanded it into 18,000 and divided it into 12 cantos for the benefit of all kinds of people. Why is the Srimad Bhagavatam called Grantharaj, the king of all Puranas? Because other Puranas describe only 5 subject matters. So in order for a Vedic text or a Vedic book to be called a Puran, Puran means history, but in order for it to legitimately be called a Puran, it must have 5 subject matters, which I don't remember just now. I think one is creation, one is manus, and one is sub-creation. It's similar to Bhagavatam. But the Srimad Bhagavatam not only has these 5 subjects, but has 5 more. The Srimad Bhagavatam has 10 subject matters, therefore it's the king of all Puranas. You know, every other Puran has 5 subject matters, and Bhagavatam has 10. So more subject, more money, bigger king, more kingdom. So what are the 10 subject matters of the Bhagavatam? Those are the titles given in the front. First canto, creation of the universe, sub-creation, planetary systems, protection of the Lord. 5 is creative impulse. 6 is change of the manus. 7 is science of God. 8 is returning back home, back to Godhead. 9 is liberation. 10 is samambonam. Srimad Bhagavatam is actually the sound incarnation of the Supreme Lord Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Sound incarnation. In other words, it's the Rupa of Krishna. When Lord Sri Krishna left the earth planet 5,000 years ago to return to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, the Srimad Bhagavatam appeared, rising like the brilliant sun to eternally benefit the conditioned souls. The Padma Purana explains how the different cantos represent the different limbs of the transcendental body of Lord Sri Krishna. Because they're saying that Krishna left his planet, Krishna Swadamo Pagate Dharma Ginatabhisaha. That Krishna went Dhammo Pagate, Upagate. He returned, he went to his own Dham. Krishna went to his own Dham, and then Gyana Dharma Ginatabhisaha. And he took along with him religion and knowledge. But then he manifested in the Bhagavatam. So they say that the Bhagavatam is the sound incarnation of the Lord. So the Lord is in the Bhagavatam. So how is his form there? His form is there also. So the first and second canto represent Krishna's lotus feet. So when you study the first canto, then your first and second canto, when we study those teachings, apply those teachings in our life with great sincerity and simplicity and enthusiasm, then what happens is that we establish ourselves at the lotus feet of Krishna. We become a servant of Krishna. that we thoroughly study the first two cantos, it will bring about surrender to Krishna. And surrender begins at the lotus feet. We will surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna and take our place over there, understanding that I am an eternal servant of Krishna. Jivara Supaya Krishna Arnati Das. And as that realization deepens, then we'll approach Guru for Diksha. And that, again, we'll go to the feet of Guru. Tatvidhi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevya Upadakshanti Te Gyanam Gyaninas Tatvidarshana. Pranipatena means to lie at the feet of the Guru, Dandabhat. And feet of the Guru means the beginning of bhakti. The doorway of bhakti begins at the feet of Guru. The first name of bhakti is Guru Padashraya. Krishna Padashraya, first and second canto represent Krishna Padashraya, to take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. When that develops, then our sukriti increases, then our desire to surrender increases, and then we submit to Guru, who is Tattva-gyani. He's Gyaninas Tattva-darshan. He has understood the truth. And then we submit there at his feet, and then bhakti begins. What is the first limb of bhakti? Guru Padashraya. There are 64 limbs. Then Sri Krishna Diksha Adinam. Then beginning with Diksha, Diksha Adi Shikshanam. Sri Krishna Diksha Adi Shikshanam. So we take Diksha, then we get Shiksha, then there's serving the lotus feet of Guru, Seva. So this is told here. Third and fourth canto are Krishna's thighs. And fifth canto is Krishna's navel. And sixth canto is Sri Krishna's chest. And seventh and eighth canto are Krishna's arms. Ninth canto is Krishna's throat. Tenth canto is Krishna's blooming lotus face. And the Rasa Lila is called Panchapran. Represents the Panchapran. There's five chapters of the Rasa Lila. Rasa Panchadaya. Adhyaya. Adhyaya means chapter, and Panch means five. Rasa Panchadaya. There's five chapters, 29 through 33, and they represent the Panchapran. Panchapran means the five types of prana. There are five types of life air moving in the body. Ingoing air, outgoing air. Apana, Udana, whatever, samana. There's five types of air that are maintaining the body. So it's called Panchaprana. It's a very prana, it's alive. One is the blooming face. But our acharyas say the Ras Lila chapter represents the smile of Krishna. The beautiful blooming lotus face is 10th canto, but a face has also a smile. So Krishna's smiling, Krishna's smile is the Ras Lila. 11th canto is Krishna's forehead. This is called the forehead. Or we put tilak in the forehead. Then the 12th canto is Krishna's mukut on top of his head, mukut and peacock feather. I'm just going to conclude this introduction and conclude today's class by reading the actual... I was describing that this book, what the Bhagavatam is about, and this book is a summary of that. As it says, it's a garland of rays from the sun-like Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishne sodamo pagate. Ganas, Dharma Ganasanabi, he says, Puran Arko Dinoditam. This verse is there and says, Puran Arko Dinodita. In the Srimad Bhagavatam is a verse, Puran says, Krishna swada mo pagate dharma ginada visa puranarko denodita. It says that after Krishna swadam, Krishna upagata, Krishna returned. He returned to his own dham at the end of Dwapar Yuga. And he took with him dharma, religion. Because then Kali came. Kali is irreligion. So Kali came in the picture when Krishna left. He took dharma and gyan, knowledge, with him. So and then the sages are saying, where can we find Krishna? Where can we find knowledge? And they said, Puran Arka Dinoditaha. This Puran, Arka, means it's like the sun, Dinodita, and it's like brilliant. Dunodita, Udit, Udit, Udita means very brilliant light. This brilliant light of the Srimad Bhagavatam, as Krishna's appeared in the brilliant light of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Bhagavatam is actually it contains these same subject matters, sambandha, avideya, and prayojana, as a commentary. So that's what it's about. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he drew out 1,000 verses to give the summary and 1,000 verses of the sambandha, avideya, and prayojana of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's very beautiful. But how did this come about? So he explains, in his own words, how this book was produced. What was the idea behind this book? What was the inspiration behind this book? And he says, he closes with some verses which he wrote in Sanskrit. These three verses were written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srimad Gaura Gadadhara Premo Dipana Tatpara Srimad Bhagavati Mala Bhaktivinoda Gumphita Nityam Aswarayan Etam Anandot Pula Chetasa Bhaktena Labhate Sadhya Radha Madhavayo Kripa. Which means, this garland of Srimad Bhagavatam verses, which was prepared or sewn by Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur and filled with the stimulations of Sri Gaura Gadadhara's ecstatic love, has appeared. In other words, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has picked these flowers, he's made a garland. A garland, a mala, is made of so many flowers. Is that right? So this garland, this is a garland, what does he call this? He calls this an Arka Marichi Mala. So this garland, this sun-like garland, Arka means sunlight, Ark. We have Konark, the sun temple, Konark, Arka, sunlight, the temple of the sun god. So he has made this garland by, with each of the flowers is a verse from Bhagavatam. He's taken 1,000 verses from Bhagavatam, and these are the 1,000 flowers on his garland. His Arka Marichi Mala. Arka Marichi Mala. Sri Bhagavat Arka Marichi Mala. So there's a garland of 1,000 verses. And what are these verses? He's sewn it. What are they filled with? They're filled with the mercy of Gadadhar. Because he worships Gaura Gadadhar. So God, the stimulation means the inspiration of Gaura Gadadhar. All the love, the ecstatic love of Gaura Gadadhar has appeared in these verses. Any devotee who joyfully relishes this Bhagavat Marichi Mala will quickly obtain the mercy of Radha Madhav. Sri Radha Madhav appeared in Navadvip, Bengal. How did they appear? As Gadadhar Gauranga, along with their own abode of Braj, and perform their eternal pastimes. This is the sum and substance of this verse. So now he writes one other text. Dinani tava swalpani bahu vignani tanyapi atascheta sayatnena rasam bhagavatam piva. O my mind, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur, your duration of life is very short, and that is also full of obstacles. Therefore, please drink this nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam with utmost eagerness. The secret history behind the compilation of this book. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is going to reveal a secret. He actually likes secrets very much. He wrote a whole book of secrets, right? What's it called? Bhajan Rahasya. The secrets of Bhajan. Now I am going to narrate something for which I am afraid, because it may pollute my heart with the desire for name and fame. I have resolved not to disclose this topic to anyone. So he actually made a resolve. Resolve means sankalp. In other words, he's saying, I took a sankalp and I made this resolution in my mind, very firm affirmation, firm intention, a mental intention that I will not tell anyone this story behind this book. I will write this book, I will publish this book, and you can read this book and get benefit from it, no doubt. But I'm not going to tell you the story, how this book came about. Because if I tell this story, then people say, oh, you're so great, you're such a special person. It's like I told sometimes a story as how some of my books came about, Prabhupada Radha Damodar, Prishyam Vrindavan. So then I can get name and fame. Oh. So he's saying, if I tell the story, if I tell you, then I'm going to get name and fame. Because you're going to say, oh, wow, really? Wow, you're great. So I'm not going to tell you. But then I thought, that if I become ungrateful to my spiritual master, how can I make advancement in devotional service? Therefore, by his order, I shamelessly write this. So in other words, whatever has transpired in the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which brought about the manifestation of this book, it is all due to the Guru Kripa, the mercy of his Diksha Guru. So if he doesn't tell the story, that means that by not revealing his story, it means he's ungrateful to his Guru. Because telling a story, it's glorious. It's a glorious story. It's a wonderful story. It's a wonderful reality. But Bhaktivinoda is saying, if I don't tell it, then this glorious story won't be known, and no glories will be spread. Who's to receive these glories? My Guru. All glories to my Guru. If a disciple does anything great, and someone says, oh, you're so great, you did this wonderful painting, you're so great, you made this nice line drawing, it looks so much like Gauravinoda Swami. Yes, yes, I'm so great. No, you say, oh, this is all the ability of Krishna. Recently, there was a famous movie star from Bollywood, which is the Indian imitation of Hollywood. It's called Bollywood. It's in Mumbai. And this lady's name still exists, her name is Hema Malini. She's one of the all-time movie stars, all-time movie stars of Indian movie history. And she's also a devotee of Krishna and life member of ISKCON. So she was given some award, some big award for her movies or something recently. So when she got up to receive the reward, she said, I would like to recite one verse from Bhagavad Gita. So she said, Rasoham apsukonteya prabhasmi shashi suryo pranavas sarvedeshu shabdake purusham nishu. And Lord Krishna is telling in the Bhagavad Gita, Rasoham apsukonteya, I am the taste in water. And I, prabhasmi shashi suryo, and I am the light, the prabha, I am the light of the sun and the moon. Shashi, moon, Surya, sun. And pranavas sarvedeshu, and of all sarvavedishu and all the Vedas, I am the pranava omkar. I am the sound om, pranava omkar. And then finally, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna, Purusham Rishu, I am the ability in man. I, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, I am the ability. I give the strength. I give the talent. I give the intuition. I give the inspiration. I give the ability. I am the ability in man. So you are giving me this award, recognizing me, but actually, whatever acting I've done for all these years, all the ability, all the strength, all the powers come directly from Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So this award should actually go to Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Everybody went, Hare Gopala. So the disciple, in the same way, the disciple is able to do anything. It's all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Not that I did anything. He defers the true disciple in a genuine way, not like, oh, yeah, I'll go to his Prabhupada, but I'm really great. You have a Prabhupada. Oh, yeah. Oh, Prabhu, you're so great. You gave such a great class. But yeah, it's Prabhupada's mercy, you know. But how great was it? Oh, it was really great. Oh, can someone else tell me how great it was? Oh, yeah, it's Prabhupada's mercy. How about it? Yeah, Prabhupada's mercy. Oh. So this is the nature. We don't genuinely, from the lips we say it's Prabhupada's mercy, but from the heart we don't say. From the heart we say it's me. I did it. I'm so clever. I'm so intelligent. I'm so learned. Tell me about it. But just to make a mock show of humility, we say, well, it's Prabhupada's mercy. It's almost like in the battle of Kurukshetra, Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. But Ashwatthama was the son of Dronacharya. And if Dronacharya hears that his son is killed, then he'll be pretty disheartened. And he won't fight or give any directions. He was fighting, also telling him what to do. And put your horses there, put your horses there. You know, he was a general. He wasn't so much fighting. He was fighting also, but he was mostly masterminding everything. Put your vyuha here, put your vyuha there, formation. You can trap Abhimanyu with his chaturvyuha. He gave all the ideas. So Ashwatthama, but they didn't want to lie, because Yudhisthira couldn't lie. He didn't want to tell a lie, because Ashwatthama was not dead. But there was one elephant named Ashwatthama. It's Ashwatthama, the elephant. So all Dronacharya heard was, Ashwatthama is dead. And he became so sad. So it's like, you know, someone says, oh, you're so great, you gave such a good class. And that's very loud. And you hear that and you say, well, it's Prabhupada's mercy. it's Gurudev's mercy. Jaipur, all glories Prabhupada. Yeah, great. But he, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a genuine way, he wants to direct all the glories to his spiritual master, because this whole wonderful episode happened with him. In this case, you could say Leela. This whole Leela happened between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Swarup Damodar, which is amazing. It's incredible what is going to transpire. And it is all due to Guru's grace. And so he wants, rather than keeping this secret, although he's running the risk of getting some pratishta himself by telling this story, he feels that in his heart of hearts he cannot deny telling it, because it is more glorification of his Diksha Guru. His Diksha Guru is Bipin Bihari. He's therefore, by his order, I shamelessly write this. I beg pardon from my Diksha Guru, Bipin Bihari Prabhu, who is like the moon in the family of Sri Vamshivadan Ananda Thakur. By the order of my Prabhupada, because he called his Guru Prabhupada, Prabhupada Bipin Bihari, I constantly relish the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. One day I was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and relishing it, and all of a sudden, Sri Swarup Damodar Prabhu, which means Swarup Damodar Goswami. Who is Swarup Damodar Goswami? Lalita Sakhi. Swarup Damodar Goswami appeared in my realization. It says realization, maybe dream, whatever. And instructed me. So this is what Swarup Damodar said. By the order of Mahaprabhu, in other words, I'm telling you on behalf of Mahaprabhu. Swarup Damodar is telling you. By the order of Mahaprabhu, Bhakti Vinod, you should arrange the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam under the categories of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. Then, by the mercy of Sriman Mahaprabhu, this book will be accepted in the assembly of Vaishnavas as a book for daily recitation. This book, of course, was published in 1930 or 32 by the Gaudiya Math, and they would regularly study this. Sri Swarup Damodar Prabhu then explained to me the purport. So this is the order. This is Swarup Damodar appeared to me and spoke to me. This is what he spoke to me. Do this. By the order of Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya, arrange the verses of Bhagavatam under these three categories. Then, Bhakti Narod, by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, this book will be accepted. All the Vaishnavas, you write this book, and this book will be accepted by all the Vaishnavas. And what will they do with this book? They'll recite this every day. Now, this is what Lita is telling. Lita Sakhi, Swarup Damodar Goswami is telling Bhaktivinoda Thakur 100 years ago. You do this book. Mahaprabhu is actually, through me, Mahaprabhu is ordering you. You write this book. And what's going to happen when you write this book? It's going to be a marvelous book, a wonderful book, a tremendous book. It will be so much accepted. All the Gaudiya Vaishnavas will accept it. They won't just accept it and say, oh yes, a nice book, I have it on my shelf. They will recite it every day. This is the prediction. This is a prediction of Swarup Damodar Goswami. So that's the end of the quotation. Swarup Damodar Prabhu then explained to me the purport of the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with Janmad Yasya Yataha. He also showed me the sequence for writing a commentary according to the Gaudiya conclusions. By that inspiration only, this fallen servant, Bhakti Vinod, compiled this book. Falling at the feet of all speakers and listeners, this useless Bhaktivinoda begs for their mercy. So in the true spirit of humility and transparency, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is revealing this great secret story and history behind the compilation of this wonderful classic book of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, Bhagavat Arka Marichi Mala. So this concludes the introduction, and tomorrow we'll begin with the first ray, which is called Praman, the evidence.
I have a question.
Yes.
You mentioned that Padma Purana glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam and describes different...
I mentioned that the Garuda Purana.
Garuda Purana.
So of course, and Padma Purana also glorifies the Srimad Bhagavatam, because there's one chapter of Padma Purana called Bhagavat Mahatmyam, which is also in English. That tells a story of how this Dandakari was trapped inside bamboo as a ghost, and then they recited for 7 days and the bamboo blew up and he came out.
So my question is, question is, was Purana written after Srimad Bhagavatam, or actually, as I remember, Vyasadeva wrote everything and then he was not satisfied. So the last thing he wrote was the Bhagavatam under the influence of Narada Muni. How did Puranas glorify Bhagavatam in all details? When Bhagavatam appeared after Vyasadeva was not satisfied.
Yeah, this question is also asked by the Acharyas, because if you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course I gave classes on this, some disciples maybe remember. There are verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam which explains that all the 18 and other Puranas also, all the 18 Puranas were written. It says there's a verse like it says like this: after Srila Vyasadeva compiled the 18 Puranas, he was not satisfied. He was despondent. So then the question is asked, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is not the 19th Purana, it is one of the 18 Puranas. Bhagavad Purana, he wrote the 18 Puranas. He was still dissatisfied. So then, this is described in First Canto. This same verse is there also in First Canto. So then in his dissatisfaction, his Gurudev, Narada Muni, came and visited him. And he says, you are dissatisfied because you have not explained the intimate glories of the loving relationships of Krishna with his devotees. So the Srimad Bhagavatam was already written along with all the other Puranas. Then he went back. It's something like an epilogue. There's something called epilogue. An author may write a book, and after he finishes and completes the book, he has an afterthought. Well, there's some things I want to write to tie this book. So he writes an epilogue. So after the Srimad Bhagavatam was already written, and then he went back and edited it. He rewrote it. He went into what is called Samadhi Bhashya. He went into Samadhi. He deeply meditated on Krishna and Vrindavan. Because Srila Vyasadeva, he also wrote the Vishnu Puran. If you read the Vishnu Puran, there are all kinds of descriptions. All Krishna's Leela and Braj is mentioned there. But there's no Ras. It is only like pictures. If you take my picture, you won't know very much about my Ras or my Bhav. Oh, there's his picture. So the Vishnu Puran rendition of Krishna Leela is like pictures. If you look at the Ras Leela description in Vishnu Puran, it's a few verses. That's five chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vishnu Puran is a Puran. Bhagavat Puran is a Puran. So he wrote the Vishnu Puran, and he also wrote the Bhagavat Puran, and he went back and rewrote it. So in the second sitting, what he did is he deeply meditated on Braj Leela under the guidance and instruction of Narada Muni. Then he went into Samadhi. Vyasadeva was in Samadhi. And in Samadhi, he saw the Leelas. And then, as Srupa Damodara is speaking to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the associates of the Lord revealed their bhavs to him. And then, receiving all their rasas, Madhura rasas and Braja rasas and bhavas in his heart, then he rewrote, or you can say edited, or improved, or whatever, the Srimad Bhagavatam by importing or adding all those feelings and of course embellishing. Because you look at the Ras Leela and Vishnu Puran, which he also wrote, is like this. There's only a few verses, I forget, 100 or something. And now it's become like 400. So we expanded it. New, improved, expanded. So this is, it says that the Srimad Bhagavatam, the final edition, let's say, it's like the final edition of Srimad Bhagavatam, is called Samadhi Bhashya. Bhashya means language, Brajbhash, right? Brajbhash, Bhasha. And we say Govinda Bhashya, written by Govindaji, or Sharirakya Bhashya, a commentary on Vedanta Sutra by Shankara. So Bhashya means language or words. So it's called Samadhi Bhashya, because in Samadhi, he wrote this language. He wrote the final edition of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that became the Amala Gyanam Puranam, the Amala Gyanam, the pure Purana, Dharma Prajitikati Vacham. So that's how it came about. And then he was satisfied that he brought out the Ras. He brought out the essence of Ras, of Braj Leela, and all the bhavas. And then Srimad Bhagavatam became a Rasa Shastra. Rasika Bhavuvaka, and is relished by those advanced devotees, fixed in Ras.